Blog Talk Radio.
Dre, I'm getting cut off by this woman like all the time. I don't get it. BFM Radio. You already know what it is, man. We are back. Couple of segments, interviews. We got some big guests coming on the show tonight. Trick Trick from Detroit. Been doing the Detroit Loves Everybody. Also, very huge into the music scene and very well respected out there in Detroit, man. Just there's no question on that. And we also have ARP coming on from RBE to discuss and chop the fable of this top six. But before we get to that, I'm here joined as always, my brother, my partner in crime in this, Dre Three Letterman. What is good?
Man, what the fuck is good, man? Y'all already know, man. PSA fucking radio, man. We out here, man. Segment boys, hard body karate, man.
Ooh, crazy, huh?
Yeah.
It is.
Go check that good shit out. Go check that Passion Chill out. Go check the Marv one. Go check Disaster. Go check Smack, Mook, Surf, Manola Rose, Kid, Jamal. I don't know, man. Whatever you want to do.
Dang. Just run that down, my G.
Yeah. And more. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir. More definitely coming, man. So salute to everybody checking out the shows, man. We got a big show tonight. Been dropping content like crazy. Dre, I got a question for you.
Go.
Did you hear about the Jonai versus Bourne battle?
No, what happened with that?
So I'm hearing it was a real dope battle. I hope it's released very soon. It just happened on, it's a league called Bar Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And they put the battle up, and hasn't dropped yet. But I guess I'm hearing that it's, you know, hoping that it's going to be one of the first ones dropped from the event. But I'm hearing it was crazy.
Son, Newborn is out here, man. I'm telling niggas, Newborn, man, they're having good battles, B. For real, his last three battles has been dope. Niggas can't follow Newborn no more, you know what I'm saying? I think we got to chop the fable of Newborn one day, man. You know what I'm saying? We got to chop the fable of Newborn. Yeah,
I'm definitely up for that. I would like to chop the fable with Newborn, man. It's always...
But you know what, Timo? I'm still shocked Jonas declined Disaster, though. That shit kind of like, I'm like, wow, really?
I am shocked at that, too.
Maybe he wasn't ready. I don't know. Maybe he wasn't prepared. I don't know.
I mean,
that's a big step,
shocked.
You know?
Yeah.
People say you sound like Disaster, so, I mean, Disaster, not, you know, whether you like Disaster or not, that's the nigga you can't sleep on. Let's be real. You got to prepare for that dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So maybe he wasn't prepared. That's the only thing I could think of. He wasn't prepared. Because the opportunity's right there. You know, a lot of people would have jumped on that shit, you know?
Yep, I agree.
I would have.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, Disaster. You know what I mean? You take that as, you know, a big step for your career. That's something that you, I mean, that's something that you have to do. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's deep.
Yep.
I'm just saying, man, you gotta...
You got Danny Myers out here paying niggas to battle, and you got a nigga willing to battle you where you ain't got to put no bread up, a legend like this. Yeah, bro, you got to make that happen.
Oh, here you go. We're not going to talk about Danny Myers paying anybody.
My dude, the bar guard, man. Let's go. The bar guard.
Let's go. But we got our first guest calling up right now, man, straight out of Detroit, Mr. Detroit himself, the uncle to everybody. I'm going to just say that right now. Mr. No Fly Zone, tons of nicknames. I'm Mr. Detroit versus everybody. Let's let them all right now. Trick, Trick. Trick, what's good, man? Yo, Trick.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yo.
What's going on, man?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
What's going on with you, man?
What's good, Trick? Salute for coming on the show, man. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. For real.
No problem. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely, man. I want to get right into it. You sent a tweet out. I know somebody asked you about what you got lined up. And do you have anything recorded with M? And you said, yes, of course. When's the world going to be able to get to hear that?
I mean, you know, it ain't got no rush on it, man. It just got to hold up. You know, you get into the politics of it. And clearances. I mean, clearances ain't that big of a deal no more, you know, with me and bro.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, you want to make sure it's the right time, you know, because if Emma's doing
Absolutely.
Something it'll be a little harder to get a video, you know what I'm saying, make the record a single. You know, you might just, sometimes the record be great enough for a single, but not enough, but you can't get him to get on board with, you know what I'm saying, due to the politics or whatever might be going on in his career and shit. You know, if he's doing videos and movies and soundtracks and mixing and doing the Slaughterhouse album, and then, you know what I'm saying, when he get around to, if I could wait for him to get around to a video, I could wait to get around to a video. See, you know, sometimes you gotta let that motherfucker fly. Let it go where it's not going. So it just, you know, it just depends. It's not a rush thing. We in the early stages of
right
recording
time.
Anyway. Yeah.
Got you. That's dope.
Not trick. When I think of the Trey, big homie, I think of you. I mean, throughout the years of hip-hop history in Detroit, you know, you always hear when you go to D, the first person you got to holler at is Trick. Can you explain why, how you got that respect for every rapper I've seen big you up, my dude?
Yep.
Man, you know what? I give that love back. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people stuff they think is it's an extortion thing or a muscle thing. I ain't never gotten to it with no real nigga, man. You know what I mean? I ain't never had no issue with no real nigga ever in my life. And, you know, it's just, my kind, we merge. You know, our spirits bring us closer to each other. You know what I'm saying? So we understand each other without having to go through all of the technicalities of what I require from a person and what I think they expect of me. Just a mutual understanding of being men and respecting territory and just respecting your environment and your status as a real nigga. You know what I mean? If you out and about and you know you somewhere, shit. I mean, if you can, go touch the people a little bit. You know what I mean? It ain't never got to be about a dollar. It's got to be about giving the people some fucking wit. You know what I mean? Because ultimately, they the ones gonna be responsible for. Ultimately, they are the ones responsible for your success. You know what I'm saying? You ain't shit without the people. As you could be a great talent, but if people don't fuck with you, they just don't fuck with you. You know, and I'm a good nigga, because I ain't never fucked over. Nobody didn't ask for it, you know, didn't invite me into their chest. I would prefer not to ever have a problem ever again in my life, and didn't call for none of the ones I done had in the past, those that the world may know about, or for damn sure the ones that they don't. You know, just, hey, shit, man, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be, you ain't got to put on a show to be yourself.
Word. Mm-hmm. Talk about it.
That's true.
And if
you're going to
do you and be yourself, you know, if you're a real nigga, you just treat people how you want to be treated. You don't disrespect people. You don't down talk. Keep that negative energy and shove it up your motherfucking ass. Keep that shit up. You know what I'm saying? Act like you got some sense when you somewhere around some people, because if they smell anything that's funny to them, you know what I'm saying? Especially our people, black people, they ain't going to hold a nigga up. They're going to get it to
them.
They're going to let them know off rip how they feel, you know. And it's a gift and a curse for me, because, see, I demand respect, you know, and it's just plain with my aura. I don't have to hoop and holler about it. It's just shit. Anybody in their right mind know I don't look like I want no goddamn trouble. I don't look like I'm trying to start, man, either. You know what I mean?
Is it that mystique, though, Trick? Is that mystique that you have, like, yo, Trick got that bullies kind of steeze, though? Does that ever, like, you ever sit back and be like, yo, I'm a cool nigga and shit. Get to know me before you think that I'm going to slap the shit out of you.
I mean, I used to, but I stopped giving a fuck about what people think, because that don't mean shit. You know, if a person thinks you full of shit, guess what they're going to do? They're going to stay away from you. But if you judge me before knowing me, then I want you to stay away from me, because you ain't the type of person I'd fuck with no way. You judge the people before you even get to know them. You know, so... You know, I don't. The opinion of another motherfucker don't mean a damn thing, bro. It really don't. Because it don't hold no weight. It ain't going to change the way I operate. It ain't going to change the way I do things. I write my agenda daily, you know, with the help of the Most High. So anything else interfering that can kiss my ass. It just don't serve a purpose to be important.
Trick, I wanted to ask you, what is the difference between what separates Detroit rappers from others? Now, it seems Detroit has a unity, you know, at the end of the day. They're all unified. You can tell, especially with the Detroit versus everybody. Now everybody wants to be, you know, so-and-so versus everybody. Now everybody wants to be unified. But what keeps Detroit rappers so close and, you know, with that respect for each other?
Just to you know, to be able to understand that, you know, it's certain powers that be that just ain't finna really tolerate that public display of disrespect amongst one another. So our issues don't necessarily, once or twice they have, but the issues we have amongst each other, and that, well, not we, because I don't have no issue with now one of them. The issues that they have with one another will be, you know, deemed personal, and at that point they should handle it on a personal level. Because it look like shit when you just at it with a nigga you live up the street from. You know, it's enough of that shit going on publicly with the gang violence, and niggas live two blocks down the road beefing with each other, and they don't even fucking know why, other than it's a train of goddamn beef going on. He hit my man, I hit his man. He hit my man, I hit his man. They don't, you know, they just riding for some shit that they don't even understand. So, you know.
Was there advice that you gave these, you know, these upcoming artists too? I mean, you see young ones coming up, like, you know, Big Sean when he had his come up, and now you have like Dej coming up. You know, is there certain advice that you just sat down and let them know?
The only thing I really could, you know, let them know is me extending their hand, letting them know if there's anything they ever need from me. You know, don't hesitate to ask, don't hesitate to call. If you have any problems, let me know. I've always been a great problem solver, blessed with the ability, you know, because the Bible say, whether it be true or false, blessed is the peacemaker, for he shall be called a child of God. It make enough sense for me to be truthful. So I would rather, you know, I've talked more problems out than I've ever had war and violence result from, and problems amongst people, from collections to, you know, tenants. Landlord, from record label, artist, producer, artist. You know, if you call me and say you need my help, I'm going to go to the other person. I'm going to get what the story is from your side, from their side, and we're going to come together and figure out an agreement. If you don't need that from me, then carry on. Do your things. You know, my schedule stay busy because I'm always in the mix of something, you know, doing something with my own businesses. And with respect to the other artists and their business as well, whenever they need me, you know, I'm always keeping some shit from turning into a CNN explosion.
Trick, I want to ask you about your live band, the GSM, my dude. What made you decide to go with the live band, though, man?
You know, man,
which I think is dope, first of all.
Yeah,
I love music. I've been doing this for so long. I just, right. You know, that's what I love. That's what I do. I've been, my mama had a band, you know, and, you know, I love the music aspect of it so much that I just felt like shit. It's a certain element of groove that the damn machine can't give you. You know what I mean? That machine, the drum machine everybody uses, it costs a couple $100 to hook it right up to the computer and it makes the same beats over and over and over again that you'll be hearing all over the place. You know, with the same sounds. That thing.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to use that. You know what I mean? I own my own studio, and I feel like at this point in my career, I feel like I love music so much I never give up, and I'm tied to too many entities of entertainment. Music is my foundation. That's where my attention even come from. I mean, outside of the fucking criminal record or whatever, but, you know, music is what draw me into this business, because the business is second. I understand. It's 10% music, 90% business. Yeah, okay. That may apply, and that's why the music business is so fucked up right now. Because it ain't about the music no more. It started, hip-hop started being more about a motherfucker's image than it started being about the music. Clearly, you can turn on your local radio station and tell the same 13 goddamn records is made by the same four or five fucking producers, as if ain't nobody out here making no more beats and nobody out here creating no more great music. But I say to artists, stand on that, because you don't want to fit in. The exceptional is what's extraordinary. If you fit in, you just like you got to fight amongst the goddamn fish and determine which one of y'all going to be the best tasting fish. You all going in the grease, goddammit. Who going to be the best tasting fish? Well, if you stand out and do things, swim the way you want to swim and swim how you want to swim and do things the way you want to do it and not how you think the radio wants you to do it or how a DJ wants you to do it. You know, I lived in my career countless amount of days and releases and songs and shit that I can't stand to this motherfucking day because I was making them records for them. I wasn't making the records for me. Now I'm like, man, I own this goddamn studio. I pay every light bill. I bought every piece of equipment in here from the drums to the keyboards to the guitars to everything. And this is what I want to come out. That's what's coming out. And if people want it, people like it, hey, because I know it don't sound like shit. I know it sound good because it sound good to me and it feel good to me. I know I ain't the only person that know how to feel and understand a good groove. And if you know what I'm saying? If it feel good, sound good, taste good, that's what it is. It's good. And there's a lot of people that might like it that might not. You might not never get put on a radio station. You might not never get a DJ to spin that motherfucker no damn way. But there's so many other platforms for music that you just don't, you know, we got to come outside of that box, that fucking... What we think, we give credit to the terrible music we listen to my hip hop is dead. Since the fuck when? Because of these eight motherfuckers? How about this? I beat the shit out of all eight of them and put them in their fucking place and they'll be no more with their whack ass. You know, if that's what you're going to give the credit to hip hop for these same eight pieces of shit, I stomp this motherfucker's guts out now. Kidnap this piece of shit, and you know what I'm saying? I'm just using examples, but I'm
just... Nah, I'll show you, trick. We feel you, big homie. We feel you, big homie. We feel you, man.
You can't give the credit to the fucking power of hip-hop to these people. They ain't shit. Or the motherfuckers programming that bullshit. Fuck these goddamn program directors, man.
Put
that goddamn... And fuck that with your goddamn pocket. Want your pockets greased ass, nigga. That shit is so unofficial and unhelpful to our people, it don't make no goddamn sense. You know what I mean? As if we need another reason to fucking get in trouble. You got these niggas up in power with the ability to bring more and more young brothers and sisters, talented brothers and sisters, producers and writers and arrangers and musicians to bring them to the forefront and possibly launch their careers and feed the families. Man, you know what you could do with a hit record, man? Yeah, ask Nicki Minaj how many motherfuckers on the payroll. Ask Drake, Wayne, or any of the other great people, artists, that how many people on the payroll. Because how many people is for hot done got hired because of this motherfucker's ability to make a great record and the combination of the support from radio, which was probably greasing pockets, I'm sure. But, I mean, imagine if you took that power and really gave good music a fair shot. How great you could be. Because you ain't on this earth for you, my nigga. You on this earth because God used you for other things, other people. Yeah, your day-to-day agenda is, yeah, it's just about as important as whatever the fuck this is on the bottom of my sock. Your job is what God wants you to do. And that's be available for people. Be helpful for other people. Be somebody for people to look up to and not people to run away from. Some of us can say that shit more than others, but, you know. I never gave nobody the intuition that I wanted them to run away from me because I've always loved people. I love with open arms. That's why I've lasted this long and still last to this day. You can't build the relationships I build and do the things that I've done in my career and I'm doing now and things that I have in the future being a piece of shit that they, you know, some people say I am. But I'm a good person. And I don't have to prove it, like, and broadcast it. I just keep doing God's work. He'll keep blessing me. It's taking a little longer for real niggas to get somewhere. But if it's in God's plan, it's in mine. My job is to get up every day and do what I think I could do to help somebody other than myself. And my desires of my heart will be automatically granted, and I just go with the flow, you know. People should be more like that, the damn program directors. And then damn DJs.
Mm-hmm.
It's a motherfucker asking for 1 minute, 30 seconds out of your goddamn 4-hour playlist. Can you just listen to it and see if it's good enough for 1 minute, 30 fucking seconds out of your 4-hour playlist?
Yeah.
Just try it. It might be all right. You might have a fucking hit on your hands. You might do a favor, play this nigga record, and he blow up and look out for you later on down the line or whenever God touch him. You know what I'm saying? But you do it out the kindness of your heart. You don't look for a reward. Your reward is the fact that you got God to smile on you for doing something for somebody other than yourself.
Mm-hmm. Damn.
And guess what? When you want something, you have a desire in your heart. God know that. The Most High know that. Yeah, but you too busy doing for to helping other people. Oh, yeah, he see that. He going to be like, you know what, I got this. You ain't even going to see it coming. It's bam, right there. I'm telling you, bro, from experience, man, take it from a real nigga like myself. Yeah, same trick that caught 2 murders and 2 dope cases and the 238-087 in my state number. Been in this, that, and the other. I'm telling you from my mouth, from my heart, this is really like the key to life. Everything you want and anything on this earth is all you got to do is just be, do something for somebody other than yourself. More so than, you know what I'm saying? Because you're going to be taken care of. Guarantee it. I mean, but who am I kidding?
Oh, man.
We got to have Trick out here once. A week, man, to give a PSA to everybody.
Word. Yo, Trick, what's up with Charlie Baltimore, man? Anything dropping? Y'all still doing music together?
B&B
Entertainment?
Actually, with me and B&B, I was only doing a presidency for, you know, we had a contract for a year. You know, I know the CEO. Mm-hmm. He's a good friend of mine from, you know, back in the day, and he went away for a minute. He came back, and when I ran into him, out in the streets, he was like, you know, this one, you know, I'm home now. This one I'm doing. I got Charlie Baltimore. I said, okay, well, if you need anything, just let me know. And he basically was like, well, shit, I don't know shit, so I need your help. Can you come and show me how to, you know, come show me how to do this because I don't know this shit, you know. And so I just went over there like, okay, look, you're going to need this. You're going to need this. You're going to need this. And I ran it for a year, gathered some heat, and it was time to jump back on my own career because they started signing a bunch of artists, and I was like, okay, I can't forget about what I'm doing because I have a family that depends on Trick music. I have a big family. I have a list of employees that depend on Trick to do what Trick does as an artist and stay on stage and, you know, in order for them to do what they need to do. So after a year, you know, then it was time for the CEO to go ahead and take their presidency position himself,
yeah,
and start running things, you know. And then I went back to doing, you know, what I do. So it's all good, though. It's much love. I got love for Chuck. She's a beautiful person. She's a great artist. And, you know, Brian Brown from B&B, he's a good nigga. He always been a good nigga. He's still going to be my nigga for life. But, you know, far as, you know, they doing something different with the music. They got Lil George now. He's making some good noise, you know. He got a record out called The Soft. He doing his thing, but you know, I'm B&B and anything he need me for, damn right, champ. But I got to do, you know, what I got to do over here. I got to run Squad Vision Films every day. I got to produce these movies. I have an advertising firm now, bro. So I have to produce these commercials and make sure they get done in time and go speak with marketing about different sales. And you got to watch out for the FCC about shit you can sell commercials. And I have a lot of businesses. I have to take sectioning out my day to say, okay, I'm working for this company of mine between these hours. Like at 8:30, I just got off work from Squad Vision Films. No, seriously. And I'm doing a new reality show that they'll be filming in about another 30 days. So I got budgets and shit that's got to be finished for that. I got another movie with Cash Money Films that's in the works that I'm executive producer and producer on. And, you know, I'm finishing it up with the light of this shit that's going on between my nigga Stunner and this other boy. Little Thug. You know, it's so I just got to pretty much wait till that do what it's going to do. But, you know, I'm just saying that to say, you know, I have to section out my day to do the work that I had to do. And I couldn't do that running somebody else's record label.
Here was enough. Trick, I want to ask you, get into a little bit of battle rap right now, man. I want to talk to you about, are you still watching a lot of battles these days and kind of still in the scene a little bit?
Man, you know what? I like it, but I'm going to tell you, I'm not really, you know, I could dig the sport. I could dig the sport of boxing. I could dig the sport of, you know, ultimate fighting and cage fighting and wrestling, any kind of whoop-ass sport. Deal with the disrespectful tone that them brothers take with each other and the way that they disrespect each other, dead homies, you know, disrespect each other's fucking mamas. And I mean, shock value is one thing, but be a creative enough wordsmith to get a motherfucker with words instead of insults. Because insults ain't never put nobody nowhere but either in their feelings or in the ground. You know, and you give a motherfucker the right insult, his ass gonna automatically jump in his goddamn feelings. But,
so you're telling me
that sport.
If Shotgun Shug came up and pocket checked you in a battle, this would not end well. Meaning,
I don't know what the fuck a pocket check is.
I don't
Let me tell you something, man. I'm damn near too old to be goddamn fighting, too grown to be goddamn fighting, but, you know, I still work and fight like a 20-year-old. So, but my point is, that battle shit, that's for them. I ain't never been the kind of... I always said when I first started rapping, I told myself, I never lie on a record. Always tell the truth. And living the lifestyle that I live, it was hard to step outside of the content that I understood because I was always telling the truth. But I had OGs that told me not to say too much. So it limited what I felt like I could say until I saw what to do with words and syllables and, you know, catchphrases and, you know, bouncing lyrics off of a hi-hat instead of a kick drum and a snare. You know, I learned how to freak the words down a little bit. I still never was interested in that battle shit because... It ain't nobody really getting no money from that, but one battle. Like, you get the one battle, then you got to wait for if a nigga body your ass, you got to wait, and hopefully you get another opponent or something, man. It's just, the one you saw me on with Shotgun, you know, much respect to Arsenal and Shotgun Shoe and my nephew Calico, you know, I went, Calico Daddy is my nigga, I come up with him. Blackface from Rock Bottom. And this man grew up under the same bosses. You know, my boss in the street was his boss's best friend. So I was part of the Click crew. He was part of JoJo's crew. When we got together, we got together. Everywhere we go, deep players must eat. You understand me? And when Face went away, you know, I had to look out for his boy. That's Calico. So whenever Calico go to these battles and shit, that was some shit that was being passed around that brought to my attention that I was very uncool with, you know, about a very dear friend of mine. I didn't understand the sport. I didn't understand that this was something that these warriors particularly accepted. But it was something that I felt was unacceptable, and I felt like I had to deal with it. But to be honest with you, I was kind of out of my place. Being a man about it, because that's not my thing. All I saw was somebody disrespecting my dead homie, and I'm going to shut this motherfucker down if it's the last thing I do. But when I understood the sport and understood what it's something I do, something that they do, out of respect, a man, I'm telling you something about survival and being a man, it's knowledge. Knowledge is knowing the ledge, knowing the end. How far can you go? You can't go that far with me, so I don't fit in that. I don't fit in the attendance of it. I get invited to a bunch of them, but I'll be like, nah. And now I'm learning that my name comes up a lot at them because of the situation that happened over in at St. Andrews. You know, we wasn't trying to be on camera. I was trying to figure out something. Hey, man, what the fuck? I just over here. That wasn't, you know, neither here nor there. I get it. That's their thing. Much love to them. I see a big, I actually see a profit in that business for somebody, but you know, you gotta love the sport, man, and that's what do it. Fuck it, go for it.
That's facts, man. Yo, salute. We appreciate it. We just needed to chop it up, man, about some Detroit shit, some battle rap.
For real.
We really appreciate you coming up here, Trick.
No problem, man. I appreciate you having me.
Yes,
we'll definitely keep in contact, man.
Hey,
we're going to have you back up here, of course.
Okay, I got my... Everybody go check out that Outlaw, my new single, Me Breaking the Chain. That's my Breaking the Chain single. I recorded this record with my band GSM. It's live. It's it's entertaining. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. And it's me basically saying, all right, y'all, I gotta step over here and do it the way I do it. You know, because I love music. Don't never give up on what you love. I don't give a fuck how old you is, cuz. If you're going somewhere, you don't stop until you get there. And that's a message to any and everybody trying to do everything. The only reason people fall off is because they fucking stop. If you stop, that's just what you did. You stopped. And you chose something else. They gonna say you fell off, but when the fuck is their opinion mean any goddamn thing to the way you shit on your toilet in the morning after your first glass of water? If you got any goddamn sense. If that's what you love, your life on this earth is between, is, let me tell you about your life. It's God, it's you, and then it's every motherfucking body else. It's God, it's you, then it's your wife or your kids or whoever the fuck you got next to you. God, you, then them. So you and God got to be comfortable. And y'all can't be comfortable if you got fucked up business with every goddamn body else and shit ain't going right with it. You and him got to get it together. And that's something that you want. And you say, God, this is what I want. This is what I want to go after. I want to be this. I want to do this. I want to do this from the bottom of my heart. That's what I want to do. You see it, you start heading that way. You don't stop till you get there. If you stop, that's just what you did. You stop. But God know what the desires of your heart is. And you do right by him. I mean, not be a piece of shit. Not be a negative-ass person. Don't put your burdens or shit. Stop hating so goddamn much. Every time somebody say somebody did something that you ain't did, that you smacking your motherfucking lips. Stop that shit. That's how you block your blessings. God don't like that. You got to start congratulating and clapping when people succeed, and you got to mean that shit from the bottom of your heart, too. You got to really be congratulating and really be excited about someone else's success other than your own. Then and only then will you truly be blessed and get what you're trying to get to. But focusing on it is the first part. So this here, this outlaw, that's it, right? This is me. This is me. I can't do it the way everybody else do it, but this is the way I do it. If you love it, I love you. If you don't, other music out there for you to listen to.
Amen. Yo, salute, Trick, for coming up here, man.
Much love, brother. I appreciate you, man.
Absolutely, brother. We'll be in contact. Take care.
In a minute. Yes, sir.
For real. For real. All
right.
Uncle Trick, man. God damn.
To Uncle Trick, man.
Facts, though, man. Facts.
Definitely dropping jewels and that. You know, crazy, man. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, son. He was dropping some old school gems on niggas, man. For real. I can't wait till niggas hear this shit, B.
I can see where he's coming from about what he would do in a battle, though. Somebody was getting crazy, super disrespectful.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Because he's coming with different cloth, but because battle rap now is so different, where now you're in each other's grill and pocket checking and hands in the face and all kind of niggas getting knocked the fuck out, you know what I'm saying? So,
you know what? I was surprised to hear about, I'm glad he explained a little bit about him and Cal's dad.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was, you know, that they ran with the same people. You know,
I did know that because I remember, you know, old footage and shit on YouTube back in the day.
Yeah,
had Calico.
Yeah.
Trick chilling and shit.
It's cool that he took Cal under his wing, though.
Right? Word.
Like, who else would do that, you know?
I didn't know that part, though, but that shit is big right there, B, for real.
Salute to Trick, man. Yo, we got to get this next guest on right here to chop this fable real quick, man. This top six came out. By the way, this man has been dropping fire battle after fire battle, so we got to give the man his props. Let's get him on real quick right now, man. ARP, Mr. RBE, what's good, my G?
Yeah, what up, PSA, what's good? Tim, three letter,
good.
What's poppin'? It's your boy ARP, man. What up with y'all?
Yo,
sir.
Like Timbo said in the beginning, man, my nigga, you having a hell of a year, my G. You having a hell of a year, my nigga.
Hold on. First of all, shout out to y'all. Yo, shout out to Trick, all the RBE supporters out in Detroit and all that, definitely.
Mm.
But big, big shout out to the RBE team. It's not this man that's been putting out classics. The RBE team has been putting out classics. Shout out to my brother, my Shotta, my brother, my partner, Crime Shotta, co-owner. Shout out to Uncle Hav, Dr. God, Jay Science, Lawrence. Everybody's moving. Everybody's working. It ain't just me. I'm trying to break that in 2015, but y'all refuse to listen to me, man. It's just me. We working. It's a
no,
team, man.
You know what it is, Timbo? In ARP, this is what I look at it. I look at it like ARP is giving niggas who will not make, let's be real, ARP, who will never make it to that URL stage. You're giving young niggas who might not be top tier or they got a name, but they're not getting a platform to be heard. And I think you get a lot of starving niggas on there.
I appreciate that, but the game is changing back, and I think that RBE influenced that heavily. I'm seeing a lot of people that want to go smaller now. You're seeing pit styles coming back. You're seeing people starting to expand their rosters a little bit more, coming down, not just worrying about top tier this, top tier that. The game's expanding back to the way that it really should be, and I like to see that, and I think that RBE is heavily influencing that, and I think it's going to further open up the game, not just for the matches that we get, but for the battlers and the opportunities that they get. So you want to know what? Y'all are welcome.
All right, this is...
We're having fun, man.
You get too cocky, this is where we get into that top six. Just to bring you down a notch, ARP. Come on.
When I say you're welcome, hold on, let me just clear that up. When I say y'all welcome, I don't mean the fans. The funny thing is, I mean the game where people were accepting more of a closed-minded state and things to only be one way. You know what I'm saying? Everybody has their ways of doing things. Everybody has their personal preferences. That's great. But I really think that we help to open minds a little bit on saying that this also works to these type of artists can get the type of burn and recognition that platforms could be putting out to the fans as well. And I really think that the game is going back in that direction. So when I say you're welcome, I also mean to the battlers. You know what I'm saying? Where you might have had people that the game written off. You know what I'm saying? These guys are slept on. They don't do numbers. They don't do views, so we ain't going to call them. They have more of a boring style. We ain't going to call them out. I think that we're helping to reassure the game that, no, these people will give you classics if you give them the right matchup and the right setting. Stop trying to act like the game needs to be one way. It is not one way. It's whatever we do with it as a culture and as a fan base. It's what we make it out to be. Don't let the shit get closed-minded, and I think RPE is pushing that. That's why I say y'all are welcome. It's more so just talking to the culture. I'm not talking about the battles, because some classics that we might have out, people hate, so I'm not talking about that. So before y'all call me cocky, just realize the point that I'm making.
Okay. All right. I understand what you're saying. Now, let's get into this top six, my G. Now,
let's do it.
Now, by the way, are you sticking to this top six before I run through this real quick?
I'm sticking to it. And let me clarify once again, it's not Battle Rap's top six. It's my personal top six, as long as you clarify that.
Okay. Which is a difference, though, because I might have my own personal top five, but then I have a top five where I know these niggas are catching fire. You get what I'm saying?
I'll give you a small example of how it could be a difference. If we say what's the top six or the top five, top ten, whatever in battle rap, me, I'm probably gonna mention names like Charlie Clips. I might mention Sue Surf. I might mention Hollow. I might mention people like that. But because it's a personal top six, that's when you start talking about personal preference. You know what I'm saying? That could be somebody that you never even heard of before. Yeah, I mean, that could just be somebody that I came across and I've seen on the underground circuit battle five times. And I'm just convinced that, you know, his style suits my likings more than anybody else. That's the difference between Battle Rap's top six and my personal preference top six of what I like to hear and what I like to watch. Is a difference.
I could dig that because I'm feeling the young boy, Chef Trez, right now.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
So, well, run the list out. Let's start with six on my feet. Let's go, man.
Let's do it.
You said Oops at number six. Explain Oops to us.
All right. So, I mean, I mentioned some of that in the blog, but just to reiterate and go a little bit more into detail, I like I like his authenticity. I like the fact that he walks the walk on the shit that he's talking about, man. When you talk about the people that actually put the action to their words and the shit that they're preaching to the choir, what do we got? 10, 15, 20% max authenticity in the game. And that's fine because it's just supposed to be entertainment. But when he does an opening third round versus Old Red, he's talking about, you know, the government. He's talking about these police killings, and he's talking about riding and getting out there on the front lines. He's really doing that. He's really doing that. Oops just met the president the other day. He was just on a live YouTube stream, you know what I'm saying, about gun violence and everything on a council. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Up there with the president and all these other councilmen and all of that. He's flying state to state on his own dollars, you know what I'm saying, as far as what's happening in his city and around the world. You know what I'm saying? Now, when you start talking about, you know, the emotional stuff, the stuff that made people cry when he battled Daylight, that type of stuff, that's authentic too. A lot of people don't know that after that battle dropped, you had people that never watched battle rap before that were touched by that moment. As that video kind of went viral and it hit World Star and it did almost 2 million views on Facebook and everything, there's this family in Chicago that flew Oops in, I think, for Father's Day. Your Father's Day, Mother's Day, I don't want to screw up the dates. Just to meet him and say thank you for his third round. They're not into battle rap. He went and spent a holiday with them, a family holiday with this new family he never met before, just so they could thank him for his third round. Mm. Now, you can't tell me that that's not a reason to make somebody your favorite. And he did that shit to me. The very first time I seen him do that is his second round versus Mr. Mills. He was spitting about his trials and tribulations, and his shit made me walk off the fucking stage. I never walked off of a stage before. I've been on hundreds of stages. That shit made me walk off the stage. Look at the footage. Then I walked back shaking my head. That's a real moment.
That's hey, a real let's be real. Moment. Let's keep it real. I called you right away after the battle dropped, and I'm like, yo, my nigga. You tell Oops, I need to holler at him ASAP. No yeah. Rocky, my nigga. Like, I'm
that's
not going to talk. You
that's
know what I'm saying?
You did.
But let me ask you a question. Do you think battle rap is where we're at a battle rap stage where fans are going to appreciate the real talk from Oops? And do you think it's going to be a trend where people are going to have real talk in their rounds?
See,
about
see, that's the
political
thing.
Stuff.
I don't want to use the word trend. You know what I'm saying? Because trends
right.
come and go. Trends come and go, and Oops is not the first to have a real talk round. Let's be clear. I don't want to take anything away from somebody that has had a classic real talk moment before Oops, but it shouldn't be a trend. What I would like to see is the way that I approach the game. I would just like to see the fans be open-minded. That's all. Mm. If somebody is giving you a good performance, accept it and rock with it. It doesn't have to be the million ways I can kill you and shoot you with this, my gun so big. That's all hard. I fuck with all of that shit. I like the schemes. I like the punchlines. I like the metaphors. I like the million ways that we can die. Great. That's all entertainment. But as long as we keep an open mind, allow people to give us a good performance, period, regardless of the content. If it moves you and you fuck with it and you got your money's worth, shut up. That's it. Click play. That's it.
Do you think ARP? Do you think this came at kind of a perfect time in battle rap when a lot of people have been criticizing it for getting very repetitive, and a lot of people doing the same things over and over? Could this battle? I mean, did this happen at the perfect time?
Absolutely, definitely was great timing. Definitely was great timing. It wasn't a plan. It wasn't planned like that. It wasn't like, you know, we got all this drama going on, so now's the perfect time to talk about this type of concept. You know what I'm saying? Remember. Oops' third round versus Daylight was really about his trials and tribulations around his family, his health.
Cancer,
and,
right.
Yeah, and going through battle rap. It's not like he just, you know, developed cancer, you know, at this time in battle rap when it's needed. No, he's been dealing with this. And now he's starting to get the light and the recognition in battle rap. So as he comes through battle rap, he puts all this time and energy into battle rap because it's a passion of his. He doesn't do it for the money. Oops has plenty of money on his own. He owns businesses. He's one of the few people that doesn't need a check to come stand on your stage and give you his A game. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So you got that, and then you happen to have the times of what's going on in his own city that he's on the front lines on, making world stuff for getting arrested and getting beat up and getting, you know, bloodied up by the cops and all that type of shit. It's just happening at that time
where he's on a stage on a platform that's generating a little bit of buzz and got him a match where people was going to click in and press play, which is Daylight. So it just, the stars lined up like that. You know what I'm saying? It's not like it was like, yo, we just got this master plan for you to get sick and for St. Louis to explode at the time that we're going to book you versus Daylight. That makes no fucking sense. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, let's go number five. Arsenal. I mean, self-explanatory, but break down Arsenal.
Arsenal, man. King of disrespect, man. Nobody's going to go to the points that he goes to. Yeah, I mean, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, he's had some crazy, wild moments where it's like, God damn, like, I don't know if he should have said that, like what he did with Shotty Hart, what he did with Mr. Fab. Some of that shit was crazy. Some
Mr.
of that shit
Fab was crazy.
Was crazy.
Yeah, Mr. Fab shit was
yo, Mr. Fab was over the fucking wall. But you Jesus. All watched it, you were all entertained, and we all spoke about it. He created a moment. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you got to choose what you're going to do. Me, I choose not to be a battle rapper. Okay? You know what I'm saying? You got to make the choice.
Yeah.
If you choose to be a battle rapper and it's fair fucking game, that can happen. It's supposed to be entertainment. You know what I mean? So that's what they both chose, and that's the type of stuff that he brings to the stage. Now, even past the disrespect, because I don't want to just say that's the reason why he's my top fifth, but let's talk about it. He's not the most viewed in the United States or the world as a battle rapper, you know, for no reason. You know what I'm saying? He's got the performance. He's got the aggression. His bars has always been strong. I know he's had some performances recently where people said, that's not great, eh? But that's only because he's given us classics in the past. So we're ranking him against that. That's what happens to people at his level. So he could give you a solid performance, but if it's not mind-blowing, they'd be like, eh. And that's because we know how good he is. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. So past that, him being a legend in the game, it's really unquestionable. It's unquestionable.
Okay.
Feel this.
Now,
next up, we got Daylight, right? I think it's number four.
Daylight is number four, yes, sir. Daylight is number four. I mean, go ahead. What you going to say?
Now, with Daylight, I can understand. I mean, is it based off of, you know, what he's done lately, his pen game, and also, you know, that third round that he had as well?
Absolutely not. It's not based on his third round. And I love the consistency of the things that I say publicly, because I've stated that Daylight was one of my favorite battlers, and I think I had him either in my fourth or my fifth place. I've said it on radio interviews that's still out there before he battled Oops. And not even before he battled Oops, but before I even booked him to battle Oops.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So I've been saying that. The reason why he's in my top like that is because of the man's pen game, his talent. He's fucking amazing. Amazing with that fucking pen. When you listen to that man's delivery and the type of stuff that he comes up with, I was one of those people that didn't know that was a Mortal Kombat scheme versus Chilla.
Yeah.
I admit it, son. I thought he was just joking, saying, okay. I thought he was on some South Park shit. That's what I thought he was doing, South Park. As he said the fighter's name, I was catching the references. I wasn't tying it to the South Park shit being MK initials for Mortal Kombat. I wasn't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then when I got out there to Bowl of Five and I seen his first round versus Charlie Clips, where he did that new delivery that we then seen A-Verb do after that and a few other people do after that. Man, I was standing right there watching that shit like, this motherfucker, man, he's ridiculous. That man is crazy. He plays around a lot, you know what I'm saying? He has his reasons for doing what he does. Some shit we don't fuck with, some shit entertains us. But his talent, when it comes time to put that pen to the pad, is undeniable, unless you just can't hear or fathom or understand what he's writing. But I can, and I respect that man's talent.
Okay. Now, number three, son.
Let's go.
I like this dude a lot, man. I like this dude a lot. But I think after the A-Verb battle, man, it's been looking kind of shaky, baby. Explain Swave Southern to us, please.
Yeah.
And I like Swave, man. T-Mommy, shout out T-Mommy, but damn.
You know what? Now, if I came on here and I told you, what are you talking about? Swave is still giving us the best performances in the whole game, then I would sound biased. Right? I'm not a biased person. what I am is I'm a real person. I'm a consistent person. And like I said in my blog, Sway was one of my favorites since the Sid Vicious battle. You know how long ago that was?
Yeah.
You know how long ago that was? You know what I'm saying? For me, the way that I ranked him so long ago, for me, as far as personal preference, like around the time when he battled Old Red, you know what I'm saying? Performing
snapped
like
Old
that.
Red. Young Cannon, he did on Young Cannon, dirty.
And if you look at the him versus Young Cannon battle, I'm standing right behind Sway. I'm standing right behind him watching that battle. I go back with enjoying that man's content. You know what I'm saying? That was way before Sway even knew me. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Just cop my ticket, go watch the battles, chill, take my ass home, mind my business. That's it. Enjoy the battles. That man, he's been putting on forever in my eyes. You know what I'm saying? Forever. And the vibe that he brings to the stage, the authenticity, when you could possibly outbar him, but he could still win the round, that's because of what he delivers with his vibe. You know what I'm saying? The way that
he's ARP, hold on. You don't think that Averb, you don't think that Averb battle haunted him? This is a nigga, he wanted Averb for years. He been calling that nigga out for years.
Yeah.
And he finally
get
Averb.
Yeah, that
and then, you know, I think that kind of hurt him. And to
that
be honest, he battled Show Off on your platform, and I edged the battle to Show Off a little bit, my dude. To be honest.
Yeah. But we don't even got to talk about his RBE battles. We don't even have to do that. You know what I'm saying? Because the funny thing is, if you go into the comments of Sway versus Show Off, they're both in my favorites, obviously. You see people going back and forth. You see some taking Sway, some taking Show Off. So obviously it was a good battle. It was a close battle.
Right.
But we don't even have to talk about his RBE battles, him versus Roy and him versus Show Off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We could stick with everything else. Yes, that Averb battle hurt him. But one thing about Swave, man, Swave ain't really a man for excuses. He ain't really a man for excuses.
He kept it a buck.
Yeah, and when he said that it happened kind of at a bad time, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
What reasons has Swave given us to not believe him? You know what I'm saying? He kept it a buck with the fans and the game forever.
Right. He's a man's man. I fuck with
Swave. Exactly. And once again, especially when you compare Swave to the rest of the game, how many people sound and bring a vibe of Swave Seven?
But we live in a world, ARP. You know what fans are like? WLs, my nigga. WLs. That's what we look at.
Three, watch this. That's the difference between being a typical fan, which I respect, and a rare breed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. Rare Breed is not just some platform name. It's been tatted on me and my brother's chest since, like, fucking, who knows, late 90s, early 2000s or some shit like that. It's a lifestyle. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of moving. You know what I'm saying? This ain't no fucking just battle rap company. This is us. This is how we move. This is how we think. This is how we live. If I fuck with you and I like what you bring, unless you change, I won't change. And to me, Swave hasn't changed. He just lost some battles that we expected him to either come closer in or possibly win. But Swave hasn't changed to me, so I'm not going to change. And that's why he's still in one of my top. That's real.
Next up, number two, Big Cannon.
Let's go. We really got to debate that?
Not really. I fuck with Big Cannon.
I like Big Cannon. I'm not gonna lie.
I think he's one of the underappreciated. I think he's one of the underappreciated battle rappers.
I think he's the most. I don't even think he's top three. I think he's top one. Most underappreciated battlers in the game. You want to know what? We could talk about numbers too, because numbers don't lie. And it's not just about RBE, because y'all know I was a fan before I was a businessman in this shit.
Facts.
I'm let down at the way that the game supports and tunes in to Big Cannon's material. Now, I was looking at the Mr. Mills battle. At the end of the day, RBE, Big Cannon, Mr. Mills, we provided a classic for y'all.
We provided
a classic for y'all, right? The views are low because people are saying, we don't really know Mr. Mills like that, and Big Ken has always been underrated. But you want to know what I did? And I'm not trying to just drag anybody else out, but I'm just keeping it real. I'm in stand mode right now. I'm not on some RBE owner shit. When I looked at him versus Raptor, right, his recent Don't Flop battle, and Don't Flop is like 300,000 subscribers or some shit like that, the views on that battle is the same as him and Mr. Mills, and they dropped around the same fucking time. So to me, that says, wait a minute. So whether you have 30,000 subscribers or 300,000 subscribers, y'all still don't respect what this man brings, period? And both battles are fire. Big Cannon versus Raptor is fire.
It's a good battle. I ain't gonna lie, a good battle.
Yo, that's a real good battle.
It's a real good battle. It got replay value. I ain't gonna lie.
That's what I'm saying. I feel that Cannon versus Raptor is a very, very good battle on a very, very good channel with great production. And I feel like Cannon versus Mr. Mills is a classic. It's one of the best battles of the year. And to see low views on both channels like that, for both battles like that, and when I see trash getting crazy attention in the game, just simply because there was hype around it, bigger is not always better. You know what I'm saying? And that goes, I'm not talking about leagues. I'm also talking about battlers. Bigger is not always better. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, that to me is a letdown with the culture, because I'm such a big fan of this shit. When I'll be like, yo, these motherfuckers sat down and wrote three rounds of that, gave it to us, delivered it to us, then the platform actually took the time to put it together and deliver it to you, and y'all didn't get behind it and really tune in like that. It's crazy. But you want to know what? Once again, that's that rare breed shit, because Cannon could get fucking 10,000 views. He could get 5,000 views. We're still going to try to get him on as many cards as possible, because his talent comes before everything. That's how we move
on
here.
You know what fucked up for Big Cannon too, I think, Timbo ALP? I think the battle not happening between him and Charlie Clips. I think if Charlie Clips didn't happen, that would have helped him a lot.
But
you know what I'm saying?
But once again, I see exactly what you're saying, and what you're saying is 100% logical, but it's based on how the average fan moves. I'm not the average fan.
Right.
I'm not the average fan. Me, if it's fire, it's fire to me. You know what I'm saying? And your name is not supposed to matter. There's battles that have been some of the best battles of this year. They're not from the biggest names. You could talk about Chess versus Brooklyn Carter this year. That's a classic to me. I'm staying away from names right now. I'm making a point. I'm making a point based on names. What you just said was he needed Charlie Clips. Now, as much respect as I have for Charlie Clips is one of the greatest to ever do it. He has a claim for GOAT right now. He has a claim for that. And he's fucking nice. We know what Charlie Clips does. But as talented as Big Cannon is, why should he need any other man? He shouldn't.
You know why?
Go ahead.
I agree with you. All I was going to say is
all Big Cannon needs is somebody else to stand in front of him for three rounds and also give a good performance for us to respect the battle. That's how it should be. But
it should be, ALP, you're right. It should be like that, and it's not like that. And I understand you're speaking from a fan standpoint, as you should. But if I'm Big Cannon, the battle rapper, and the fucked up politics that is in battle rap, I needed that Charlie Clips battle. I just needed that. I really needed that.
Yeah, and that's what's fucked up in the game. That's what's fucked up in the game, that sometimes bigger is preferred. Me, I thought this was about talent. That's what I thought this was about. You know what I'm saying? But y'all making it a fucking spectacle more than anything else. And that's why hype moves more than anything in here. You know what I'm saying? How many times do I log on and I see fans complaining about being let down by something? That's because something was built up so big, or y'all thought it was so big, or was supposed to be so big, but it didn't translate talent-wise. You know what I'm saying? And that happens to every league. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, when somebody's consistently showing you that this man is crafting fire for you and bringing it to the fans, get behind it, because that's how the game changes. That's how other artists are able to grow and come in here and make a name for themselves. You know what I'm saying? That's how that little guy that only has a few hundred views but is nastier than some of these top tiers, the same top tiers that y'all say do nothing but give you shit every time they touch the stage and walk away with a $10,000 check, that's because y'all not getting behind what's fire. That's why. We are responsible for keeping the game contained. But then we turn around and we complain why the industry won't come in. You know what I'm saying? We keep this shit small, because all we do is support what is supposed to be pretty and sweet and big instead of what's good and what's pure talent first. Go talent first, then give me the fucking the image and all that other shit. Give me the talent first. That's how we move. That's what I care about. As fan, as a platform owner, all of that. Y'all can have the rest.
So, Do you feel that show off being your number one right now?
Say that. My bad, Tim. We're just breaking up a little bit. Say that again. Show off being number one. What?
Do you feel with show off being number one, obviously in your top six, that he delivers on all aspects in every category right now?
No. Show off does not deliver in every category. And that's how I really keep it. With him being my personal favorite battle rapper right now, I'm still going to say he doesn't deliver in every category. You know what I'm saying? There's room for growth. When you're talking talent-wise, he has room to improve on so much. He has so much room to improve, which is a good thing. If you're coming in and you have a good, solid platform behind you that's backing you, right, and you're getting good matchups, you're getting a good quality look, you know what I'm saying? And let's say you're at your 50% potential. That's a good thing. God forbid you come in peaked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Shoff has room for improvement for everything, but the reason why he's my personal favorite is my preference of his style of writing. Style of writing and the way that he delivers it. I feel like performance-wise, he doesn't have too much more room to grow because he's one of the best performers out there in terms of the content that he delivers. He performs perfectly. You know what I'm saying? His aggression, being that we're an aggressive sport, the aggression is unquestioned. All right?
ARP, you know what I think would mess the show off, though? I think Sun is nice, but a lot of fans, and I've seen this before, say he sounds too much like Sue Surf. What do you say about that?
I don't understand this, and I'm not just saying that because Shoff is over here rocking with RBE Heavy. I don't hear it. I feel like Surf is way more direct. Way more direct. Even with his delivery. His delivery is slower. You know what I'm saying? His cadence is slower. His bars, his structure, his punchlines, they're way more direct. Shoff is about, he likes to conceal his bars a lot. He's a way more rapid rapper. His delivery is much faster. You know what I'm saying? His delivery is much, much faster. And he likes to really hide and sneak in his bars. You're talking the double, the triple, the quadruple entendres and all that shit. That's what Shoff kind of focuses on. Sometimes he even focuses on it too much. And that's why you can sit there and not catch what he's saying in the building, get home and rewind it and say, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes he does it too much. I don't see the same. I don't watch a Surf battle and miss too much, which is good, which is fine. You know what I'm saying? I could miss at least 30% of Shoff's content in the building. Or 40% sometimes. And if it's a loud environment, I could miss a lot of Shoff's content. Surf, I catch everything. There's nothing wrong with that, but I just feel like Surf is way more direct than Shoff. And their cadence is much more slower on Surf's side, and Shoff is much faster. I don't see it. So maybe it's the voice and the image and the content. Maybe that's it. Other than that, I don't see it.
Is he the face of RBE, though? Because a lot of fans say that, you know, like, it seems like Shoff. And Rosenberg Roar, I thought at one time, like, they get a lot of push.
Let me clarify this, all right?
All right.
All right, so there's two faces of RBE, right? And that's because no matter what happens, no matter what goes down, they're always going to be there. They could be a dollar left in the bank. Those two people will be there. And that's myself, ARP, and that's my brother, Shatta, all right? There's two faces of RBE. Now, on the talent side, there are representatives, there are flag wavers, and there definitely are faces, and there are pillars. So I definitely want to give those people that respect in that area. You know what I'm saying? Like when Oop says, I'm the face of RBE. Yeah, in that respect, he absolutely is. If Shoff says, I'm the face of RBE. Yeah, in that respect, he is. When Boom says that, if Raw says that, if Big Cannon says that, even if my homie Jim says that, yeah, we give them that space to move and operate because they hold us down the same way we hold them down. You know what I'm saying? They are some of our favorites outside of battle rap. Like, we fuck with them, with these people more than battle rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, we really check for each other. You know what I mean? So when they say they're the faces of battle rap in that respect, yes. But when you talk about 100% representation of what Rare Breed means, that is ARP and Shatta, because we stand for certain principles. There's certain things that you've seen us coming in the game saying, no, we anti that. I don't care if the game is following that. That's because that's how we are in real life. And no matter what, like I said, those two people are always going to represent those type of characters no matter what. No matter what changes. Rare Breed Entertainment can close today, but ARP and Shatta will still be Rare Breed tomorrow. You see what I'm saying? Okay.
I feel that. ARP, before we head out, I want to let you know, you know, I've spoken to numerous artists, and they've always said that RBE and ARP, they conduct the best business. I've texted this to you before, but they definitely conduct the best business. Everything is taken care of before they step on stage. Everything is done and taken care of. So, you know, that's good to hear. So, salute to that, bro.
Thank you
for that,
man. And salute to all of them. I appreciate y'all, man. Listen, man, when I finish my spot 7 through 10 or 7 through 12 or whatever, man, let's hop back on the line. Let's chop it up. But, yo, keep an eye out, man. We got that Blood, Sweat, and Tears 3 and Listen Soul 2 event announcement, two-day event, Labor Day weekend, September 5th and September 6th. The full announcement is about to drop because it's been locked in for a minute. If y'all think that we still putting the battles together, y'all are wrong. The both cards have been locked in for like a month at least. You know what I'm saying? That's why we put the tickets on sale. So cop those tickets. They're already on sale. BST3LHS2.eventbrite.com. Get your early package tickets and all that. They're already on sale. We got some crazy matchups coming for y'all, man. Keep an eye out for RBE Visions. It's a lot of work that we're putting into that, man, taking a lot of time, but we will bring that to the table as soon as possible. Keep an eye out for those videos as well. Keep in tune with the channel. Y'all subscribe, man. I appreciate y'all as always.
You know that.
Absolutely, bro. We appreciate you coming up here, man. Take care.
Big salute, y'all. Let's get it.
All right. Salute to ARB coming up on the show, man. Mr. RBE got some dope shit. Dre, we have about I want to say about 6-7 segments. Just in the chamber right now.
A lot of shit, my dude. A lot of shit.
I'm telling you, man. We out here working, bro. Just check this shit out. PSA Radio. Don't fucking forget it. I swear to God, you know, I might go back on our word. When we said T-shirts coming, never. I don't know, man. We might have to do something, bro. The most hated and the least respected. T-shirts coming, maybe
never,
sometime.
Never.
Never, though. But fuck it. Who cares, man? You already know what the fuck this is, man. PSA Radio, my bro, my partner in crime in this shit, Dre 3 Letterman, my G, take us out.
Man, y'all don't even know what the fuck it is, man. PSA motherfucking radio, man. Shout out to ARP. Shout out to fucking Trick Trick, man. Real nigga shit, man. That
yep.
Trick Trick interview was dope. You know what I'm saying? Y'all already know what it is, man. PSA, baby.
We out.